tomorrow, Toots.
Now, back to Steiny and Guru on 95.7 The Game.
Coming up in a half hour, Vernon Davis, former Niner tight end, nice player.
Really good player.
Yeah. Yeah. 49ers could use him as a tight end. Somebody who actually catches. Doesn't just block.
Oh, he's a better pass catcher than Kittle, but he's also a lot faster. That dude was blazing fast up until
he's good.
Cam Chancellor got his hands on him.
Evan, I know you're only 30, and then you've got a long life to live.
Well, I certainly hope so.
Me not so much, but what? How do you envision your retirement to go?
I think based on the way America is moving, I'm never going to be able to retire.
Well, fair enough. But listen.
Me and Spadone and Ken back here are going to be in the studio until 2098.
To my way of thinking, the greatest retirement of all time is Barry Sanders. He left, and he was gone. We also have a living...
He shows up in those State Farm commercials every
Heisman
season.
He needs a little money
season.
Now, but it's 10 years later.
Okay.
So, there's a living legend in the Bay who went out, just perfectly. His name was Gary Radnich. He walked off the set his last day, and he's never been heard from again.
What do you mean?
He's vanished.
I saw him on Twitter last week.
Yeah, not really. You saw a photo.
Guru sent me an IG post.
That was a photo of a dude that he bumped into next to a mailbox. My point is...
But I've seen him.
Is he retired and he was gone because his work was done. And I saw some troubling news today.
I can't believe you're going to bring this to the air.
I am bringing this to the air. And Spadone, I don't know if you've heard this or not. I'm sure you have. You know everything.
He does.
The Yankees are in talks to bring John Sterling back for the postseason. Oh, you didn't know that.
This is the best news all week.
Pack it in already.
He did.
How?
Exactly.
How?
They want him. I want John Sterling. You don't think you do, but you do want John Sterling.
In fact, what did I do wrong?
That is what we need come October. You want to find a way to get eyes or ears back on baseball once football starts? Bring in John Sterling. Bring in the closer.
Let me tell you what's going to happen. The Yankees are going to win the first round series, and he's going to think they lost. I'm telling you. You don't always need to be in the spotlight.
Well, he's on radio, so.
But there's a... Anyway, John Sterling. Happy for him. He's going to be doing Yankees games again.
Well, he should be. Never should have left.
Yeah, I don't know. 925 says, I'm more worried about how the run defense looks than the offense.
That's a good point. Well, they were 26th against the run last year, even with a couple of other bigger boys, Armstead, Young. But, I mean, you got Sorensen in there now. Staley's going to be, got eyes in the sky. You hope your defense, your run defense is better. But that's something that also hasn't, like, again, we have not been talking a lot about the football side of things.
You're
because
right.
All of the distractions surrounding the 49ers have captivated conversations and audiences to the point where, yeah, I got concerns about their run defense. I actually think their secondary is going to be much improved from last season. I think they're going to miss Greenlaw at the beginning of the year, but once he steps in, that linebacking core is going to be elite once more. These are all things that we just haven't been able to touch on because every single time Kyle Shanahan gets asked a question is, what's going on with BA? What's going on with Trent?
Yeah. Austin in San Jose on the YouTube chat. Steiny, you'll be old someday. I'm already old.
He's too old.
Well, but you don't need to be in your physical prime to operate in your, you know, your mental prime.
No, you need to be mentally sharp.
No, but...
And I'll leave it there.
Some of the best comedians get better as they age.
Who?
Because they gain perspective.
Who, Don Rickles?
Dude, Donnie was hilarious.
Donnie was a one-trick pony.
What are you talking about?
He was a one-trick pony.
What, he went after the crowd?
Yeah, he just, you know. What was his big word? Meatball or meatball? I don't know. Anyway.
He's got to stay sharp up top.
My question is, what happens if the 49ers offense does not look good tomorrow? Do you think there'll be any ramifications from that in terms of getting Trent Williams in or getting Brandon Ayuk in? That's, to me, kind of the simplest way to put it. If they look bad tomorrow, then what?
I do not think anything that happens tomorrow will impact the contract negotiations of the two players that we've been talking about. However, I do think there's a correlation between why the starters are playing tomorrow and their absence. Because I think that Shanahan, again, is dressing up this final game because he's prepared to not have those two players on the roster come week one. Now, I think he hopes they'll be there. I think a lot of people believe that they'll be signed before week one. And a la Bosa, you know, we were worried about Bosa up until right before the Steelers game, and then he was there.
Yep.
But Shanahan has got to prepare for everything. As a head coach, as a manager, you have to prepare for every possible situation. And if this thing lingers into the regular season, Kyle Shanahan, it's not just, you can't just not play the games. You can't cancel joint practices in the regular season. You got to go out there and play. And so I think Shanahan is using this final game as a final test to see what his group has if they're not at full strength, which is a possibility.
I think it's becoming more and more a possibility with each day that passes. George Kittle was, you know what? I didn't want to do Kittle yet. I wanted to do the...
Baldy?
No, I wanted to do... go ahead, you can do Baldy, because I'm looking up something else about Bosa that I think is important.
Well, I think... So we were talking to him. You mentioned that last segment. I was talking to him during the commercial break. And, you know, Brian Baldinger's, I think, is tapped in as anybody, as any media member around the NFL. And he goes to all the training camps. He talks to all the guys from the front office down to the players. And everyone respects his opinion. And so... I thought you asked him a poignant question about BA, what's going on there. And he just kind of offhand slipped in. You know, the Niners had a deal with the Steelers, and they were willing to accept the trade. The only thing that prevented that was there was no receiver coming back, which also matches up with the trade offer that was nixed by Brandon Ayuk with the Cleveland Browns. There's been... Like, everyone that keeps saying that the Niners do not want to trade Brandon Ayuk, I don't believe it. I don't think that there's been a deal that they've been willing to take back or that Ayuk has been willing to accept. That's what's kept him here. But if the Pittsburgh Steelers said you can have George Pickens in a second or third round pick, whatever the report was, Brandon Ayuk would be a Pittsburgh Steeler. If Brandon Ayuk was willing to sign a long-term contract with either the New England Patriots or the Cleveland Browns, he would not be a San Francisco 49er. And that's why I think this has also been strung out for so long, is because the Niners are willing to stand, and Ayuk is willing to stand on it.
Right.
Even if they're seemingly $1 million apart.
No. I mean, I think he also threw in there that they were never going to give him Pickens, but the point is well taken. Here's the one thing I'm thinking about. And I'm reading The Athletic today. David Lombardi covers the San Francisco 49ers for The Athletic. And he had a piece today where he has all the 49er defensive players, and then he's got a comment about them. And this is the one, this is something that's hit me now. Listen to what he writes. Last season was a down year for Bosa. Bosa acknowledged his prolonged contract holdout negatively impacted his play. I mean, right there it is. I mean, right there, it's right in front of you. It's almost like stated now as matter of fact.
I thought it was Wilkes' fault.
Well, exactly. But what I'm trying to point out here now is, It's just become part of the narrative that everyone accepts as true because Nick Bosa said it. He said it. Bosa acknowledged his prolonged contract holdout negatively impacted his play. That means over the course of the whole season. Not the first couple games. Not the middle part of the year. Not the playoffs. The whole season. I mean, can the 49ers win a Super Bowl if Brandon Ayuk and Trent Williams have down seasons? And yet, we just saw a guy have a down season last year. So, that would lead me to think, what are we doing? What are we doing this late in the season without, or this late in the exhibition season without these two guys here?
Well, and honestly, I'm sorry to cut you off, Steiny. We did see this the past 2 years because it wasn't just Bosa last year. The year before that, it was Debo. And Debo Samuel talked about how the contract negotiations impacted his season. Now, because of that, I also don't think it's a coincidence that someone like Samuel, now in a contract year, has looked really good in camp. And I do expect a much better Debo Samuel this season.
Yeah.
I also expect Nick Bosa to play at a defensive player of the year level like he did 2 years ago. And not just because he's making money and, you know, there's higher expectations, but because This has, I think, been the first offseason in which Bosa has been at voluntary training, has been at voluntary camp. He's been locked in the entire summer. He doesn't play in the preseason, but there's been nothing about Nick Bosa being dinged up, dealing with some minor injuries. He's taken his veteran days. I expect Nick Bosa to be playing at a defensive player of the year level like he did 2 years ago because he doesn't have the distraction in the background. But that distraction has now been transferred over to a different set of players, and that's Williams and B.A. You know, I think it's logical to expect that Brandon Ayuk is not going to hit the ground running this year. I think it's logical to expect that Trent Williams is not going to hit the ground running this year, and that means there's going to be more pressure on everyone else. I think that's also a reason why Kyle Shanahan maybe wants to see these guys play and wants to see his starters tomorrow night against the Las Vegas Raiders, is because he knows that they're going to have to hit the ground running. This is week zero, because if those two guys are not here, or if they're not playing up to par, well, then everyone else's job is going to be more difficult, and they're going to have to elevate their game. So, I don't know how it makes you feel about last season with Nick Bosa, but you know, maybe that was a big reason why the run defense wasn't as good, because Bosa wasn't as good last year.
Yeah, I'm starting to wonder if you're a 49er fan and you hear the news, let's say, next Tuesday or next Monday or Tuesday that, okay, they've signed Ayuk and Trent Williams is on his way to returning. You said this earlier, and I thought it was interesting. You said, I'm not even sure 49er fans would be ecstatic at that point. They'd probably be more relieved. But the other part of the equation now becomes, and I think it's almost different than Bosa. And the reason I think it's different than Bosa is because now we've got, like you said, 2 years of guys who have missed summer training camp who ended up not having great years. What I think is absolutely going to happen this year, more than it did with Bosa last year, is more eyes are going to be on Trent Williams and Brandon Ayuk to see how they play over the entire course of the season. And what if we're seven games in, and they're having down years? Then what? Now we got Ayuk on the start of an extension who has a down year. Doesn't mean he'll have a down career with the Niners, but he'll start off with a brand new contract and he won't be playing well. That's not a good recipe for, you know, how the fans treat you, how the fans look at you, or that whole dynamic. Ditto with Trent Williams.
Well, that's why I think there's going to be residue from whatever has gone on this offseason. And it's, you know, it's going to manifest itself in maybe B.A. having a slow start or Trent or whatever, but it's also if the players do not play well or the team doesn't perform as well as they did last year, there's going to be questions about it. And those are going to be unanswerable questions. And I think a lot of people, I can see it now, are going to say, well, that's stupid. Why are you asking about something that happened in the offseason? You know, if IU comes out first five games, has, I don't know, 20 catches for 90 yards, you know, doesn't, well, what am I saying, 20 catches for 90 yards, 20 catches for like 120 yards, but doesn't look right. Like he's having a great season, someone's going to ask the question, hey, Brandon, do you think what happened this offseason has impacted where you're at in your current year? And is he going to tell us the truth? I don't know. But that's just, it's going to linger.
Yeah.
And if the team struggles at the beginning of the season, these things are going to linger. And the only way that this team can shut everyone up is by going out and winning games at the same level that they did last year. And that, I think, is going to be really hard to do. Number one, because they went 12-5, made a run to the Super Bowl. You know, that's, they had a very good season last year. That offense was performing at the level of a 1994 Super Bowl championship team. You know, I just think it's going to be hard for them to play at the same level offensively that they did last year because they had everybody.
Yep.
Everybody was there. Everyone was in camp. Everyone was healthy. And that just hasn't been the case this year. They're also, look, I mean, I think there's more distractions with this team than there are now. And I think that's why Shanahan might also be using this last preseason game as an opportunity to just get everybody on the same page so that they can go out. I think they're probably going to look really good. They look like they're in rhythm. And then after the game, the questions are going to be about football. And it can get right back to football. And that's what we want to bring into the regular season. Not more questions about where is Ayuk or where is Trent. No. Brock, how'd you feel when you went 5 for 6 on that opening drive and you darted a ball to Kittle? You threaded one to Debo in the slot. You're able to hit a guy on the run. You're able to make something out of nothing on a broken down play. Those are the kinds of questions that I think Shanahan wants to bring back into the locker room.
And I think you're right about the early season. And there, to me, there's two things about the early season. And one is the point of, let's say they get off to a great start, it doesn't necessarily mean they'll be able to maintain it. But here is the part that I think is going to be relevant. If you start playing games with or without Trent Williams from the start of the season, let me read these numbers to you. Because sometimes we forget about it. 30, 30, 30, 35, 42. For the first five games of the season,
Otani doubles, home runs, triples,
no,
stolen bases.
It's the amount of points the Niners scored the first five games of the year.
Mm.
30, 30, 30, 35, 42. That's about 33 points per game they averaged in the first five games of the year. I got to believe that if they don't put up those kind of numbers, regardless of whether Ayuk's there or Trent Williams there is there, it's gonna be very, very concerning for 49er fans. And now I think we're at the point where it won't even matter if they come in today. If the offense isn't clicking like it was last year at the start of the year, those guys are gonna be the finger's going to be pointed at those two guys, probably.
I think so. Yeah, I mean, look, they put up 30 or more points, what, 9 times between, you know, the postseason and the regular season last year. I mean, they scored at a rate that, you know, we hadn't even seen.
Yep.
You know, they're putting up 2019 levels offensively when they scored 29.9 points a game and were second in overall offense. Last season, it was 28.9, you know, third in total points. This is a team that I think has the best, if not one of the best play callers in the league. And I don't know why Kyle Shanahan hasn't necessarily been calling plays, but I do believe that he's going to have the play sheet tomorrow night. If his starters are out there, he's going to be calling plays.
Yeah. Doug's in Berkeley. What's up, Doug? How you doing, man?
Hey, guys, I'm doing well. I'm actually down in South Bay. I'm heading back.
All right.
But I just turned on the radio, and I heard you guys talking. And I agree with what you're saying. Totally. So let me just get that out of the way. But the one, if I may play devil's advocate, the one thing I would say, I wouldn't use Nick Bosa not being there in training camp and holding out to the last minute as my example. They still made it to the Super Bowl, and they made it to within one overtime of winning the Super Bowl.
Right.
Even though Bosa didn't play up to his potential until kind of towards the end of the season. So when I mentioned Bosa's name, I think it's more relevant as to why they're having second thoughts about paying Brandon Ayuk and Trent Williams this year. I think that it falls in that category. So I agree with what you guys are saying, but you know, you can look at it from another perspective too. And we'll see what pans out.
Yeah.
Thanks for taking a call.
Yeah, Doug, appreciate it. No, and nobody's saying they won't be able to do it, but I think it's fair to say they're not making it easy on themselves. You know what? And I do want to address something that I forgot. And that is when I said, if the offense doesn't click, people are going to be pointing the finger at Trent Williams and Ayuk. Let me add something. And the 49ers front office.
Yes.
And the 49ers front office.
100%.
All three of those groups are going to get judged by how this team plays. And if they're not playing well offensively, we are going to be talking about how this team handled Trent Williams and Brandon Ayuk and at what cost it came with. And, you know, that's something where I think you're absolutely right. It's not over when they come into camp, if they come into camp. It's going to linger until all 49er fans look at those two guys and say, you know what, they're fine. They're fine. They're who we thought what they were. But the hiccups, if they have hiccups early in the season, you know, it just puts a little more pressure on everybody.
Well, I'm looking forward again to talking to Vernon Davis on the other side of this break at 11:30 because he's someone that can explain what kind of impact an offseason like this has, or if he's dealt with something like this before, just how distractions can enter a football field. I also want to know what he thinks about Shanahan playing these starters tomorrow, if that's good, if it's bad, if we're making too much of it.
Yeah, looking forward to it. On the other side, you heard it, Vernon Davis. He'll be joining us, former 49er tight end. He'll be joining us courtesy of the River Islands guest line. Vernon Davis on the other side on 95.7 The Game. Download the Odyssey app directly from our QR code on both YouTube and Twitch. Brought to you by First NorCal Credit Union for a low-rate auto loan. Apply online or just ask for First NorCal financing at the dealer.
Now, back to Steiny and Guru on 95.7 The Game.
All righty. Evan Giddings in for Daryl the Guru Johnson today. Adjusting my volume in my headset.
Yeah, lock in, man.
We're waiting on Vernon Davis. Vernon Davis, former San Francisco 49ers tight end, said to be joining us shortly.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to chatting with him. I talked to him before on the station.
Yeah, he's great interview. Great interview.
Not quite a P1, but, you know, fan of Steiny and Goo.
Oh, is he?
Yeah, I can just tell by his tone.
Well, so you're making it up.
Theater of the mind, Steiny.
Gotcha. Hey, as long as we have a second.
We got a few.
God, tough loss. Tough loss by the Giants. God, they were just starting to...
New York?
San Francisco.
Oh. Well, it was in the afternoon.
Yeah.
I mean, by nighttime, I'd already washed it. I think Logan Webb had gotten over it, too.
Eight strong.
Only 93 pitches. They took him out.
I believe 96.
96 pitches. They still took him out after a five-pitch eighth.
Baggerly said it was a no-brainer. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Baggerly of the Athletic.
Are we not allowed to...
Oh, no.
question.
Not Bob Melvin.
Oh, or God forbid, Baggerly.
Yeah, Giants lose to the White Sox 6-2. Big four-run night for the Chai Sox. Anybody call them that anymore? The Chai Sox.
No.
You ever heard it?
If you could find...
You've never heard it, Carter. You've never heard the White Sox called the Chai Sox. Of course, Ken has. Mr. Baseball. Meet the Mets. How about Winker?
Winker's dead to me.
Winker. Walk-off home run yesterday for the Mets.
He said, I love this. Yes.
Yeah, he... So what if it took him 2.5 minutes to get around the bases?
Well, it took him 2.5 years, apparently, to hit a home run at Citi Field. I mean, seriously. Look, there's nothing wrong with celebrating and being excited. But, dude, you don't have to basically strip down to bare parts in order to do it. I'm just saying, I didn't like it. And mainly because Ken liked it. He was texting me about it during the show. Quit distracting me, man. We got to lock in, all right? It's football season. It's football season right now. Week zero starts tomorrow, 7 o'clock, Allegiant Stadium. Niners, Raiders, be there.
Yep, starters, got to play. How much, we don't know, but it sounds like at least a quarter.
Play them the whole game.
They'll probably play a quarter and a half is what I'm thinking. A quarter and a half.
Four drives.
Is what I'm thinking. All right, let's get to it. All guests on 95.7 The Game appear on the River Islands guest line. Isn't it time for you to discover the islands, River Islands in Lathrop? Joining us now on behalf of Abbott is two-time Pro Bowler and Super Bowl champ Vernon Davis. Vernon recently took part in a soccer clinic that Abbott and Real Madrid Football Club hosted for pro athletes and influencers, where the participants received direct instruction from Real Madrid coaches. Vernon, tell us about that. It sounds like it was a pretty cool event. We don't have him. Got a little issue with Vernon. John Sally.
Oh, we're doing all right. Yeah. No, look, it sounds like a really cool event. And, you know, August 1st was when they basically got to partner with a lot of different people, not just Vernon Davis, Torrey Holt, Justin Tuck.
Yes.
Kenny the Jet Smith.
Yes.
TNT analyst, you know, so looking forward to getting his thoughts on that. And it looks like we're going to try and reconnect with him.
Yeah, we're going to try to reconnect with Vernon Davis.
San Francisco 49ers.
Vernon Davis.
Maryland Terrapin.
If you're just joining us, it's radio. It happens. He'll call us back. What was I going to say about the Giants? They scored 11 runs in three games.
Yeah, that's terrible.
What do you mean?
Against the worst team in baseball?
Crochet.
He threw four innings yesterday.
But he threw a good four.
Yes, he did.
And that bullpen came in and shut down.
Yes, he did.
The Giants. All right, we got Vernon. Do we have Vernon? I don't hear Vernon. Hey, oh, Vernon, bro. Are you there?
Sorry about that.
Hey, I'm here.
Okay, good. Sorry about that. Listen, we were just talking about Abbott and what you did with the Real Madrid Football Club. It sounds like that was a pretty cool event. Tell us a little bit about it.
Yeah, that event was pretty cool, man. It was, I must say, I had a lot of fun with Justin Tuck and Corey Holt. Those guys were amazing. It was good to catch up with them, but it was good. We had a chance to indulge in some clinics where we competed and, you know, had to still score goals and things of that nature. It was a lot of fun. They also provided 30 grams of max Ensure Max protein for us as well. So that was good, because you know how key it is as an athlete, especially a football player, to have that recovery. So we needed that.
Well, Vernon, just to quickly follow up on that before we get to the 49ers, it's a pleasure to be talking with you. I know this event happened earlier this month on August 1st, influencers, athletes out on NYC, kind of part of this summer tour, but you know, where can fans go to get more of an inside look at this soccer clinic with Real Madrid and the rest of the people that you partnered with?
You can go to @VernonDavis85 on my Instagram.
Right on.
Simple as that. Simple as that. Hey, Vernon, let me ask you this. Just real quick, some 49er stuff. So they play the Las Vegas Raiders tomorrow. It's game three of the preseason. And Kyle Shanahan indicated that most of the offensive starters are going to play, and they may play almost a half or maybe even a half. What determines when a coach plays starters during the preseason, doesn't play starters during the preseason, and could it indicate anything about where the team is at a current moment?
No, I think sometimes a lot of times coaches will play their starters just to get them acclimated and get them back into the loop of things, and just so they can get caught up and be up to speed on their play, and they're just finding that ability again. Because when you have you take off and the season's over, you get a little rusty, and to play a full game is like, it's great. I mean, you get back into the swing of things. And if I'm a player, it doesn't matter to me. It doesn't matter if I'm playing now or later. I just think football is football. If you know how to play football, you'll always be prepared and ready no matter what.
Well, like you played 15 years in the NFL, and I have to imagine by the time you're getting into your 30s, maybe your mid-30s when you're in Washington, you know, training camp can get a little bit redundant, and perhaps some of the preseason. So I'm curious, first, did you enjoy playing in these preseason games, and how did you approach getting your body right to the point where you could play 16 games in an NFL regular season?
Yeah, for me, the conditioning was always key. I would stay after practice, and I would run 300-yard shuttles, and I would take like two laps around the entire field just so I can keep that conditioning going. Because whenever you practice is one thing, and yeah, you're getting your conditioning, but it's always good to get that extra conditioning so you can be in tip-top shape. And I always wanted to make sure that I was the fastest and most in shape person on the field at any given moment. So that was very important to me.
Vernon, the 49ers right now are wrapping up training camp, and Trent Williams isn't there. And Brandon Ayuk is there, but he's not practicing. And they're two very important players on offense, obviously, for the 49ers. How do you anticipate that kind of thing affects a team?
I think it can affect the team if the player isn't out there with the guys. That's how I think it can affect you. But as far as contract negotiations and things of that nature, I think as a player, I'm going to let that player and that agent work things out themselves. You know what I mean? I want the best for my teammate. I want him to get paid. I want him to make his money and things of that nature. But at the end of the day, I still got to do what I got to do. It's like I was telling someone else. I was like, hey, look, it's an honor and privilege to be able to be in the NFL on any team. So at the end of the day, I don't really have the right or say so when it comes to making things move. Yeah, I can make my suggestions, but that's up to that player and his agent to get that done. But I do want my player, especially if I'm a leader, I want this guy in the locker room because I know he's going to help us win football games.
You've played with obviously some very successful 49ers teams, two conference championships, one Super Bowl appearance. Coming off of that Super Bowl loss, and I hate to go down memory lane or bad memory lane, but you guys were right there, very similar to where the Niners were this previous Super Bowl, being there in overtime, having a chance to get it. You guys were at the goal line against the Ravens. Did you ever sense a Super Bowl hangover? And if so, how did you avoid it? Or how did you deal with a Super Bowl hangover?
Yeah, Super Bowl 47 was definitely one to remember. I think back on that day, and I just kept telling myself after that game was over, it wasn't our time. It wasn't our time. But I also kept the faith that we were going to get back and have another opportunity. It didn't come with the 49ers for me, but I still take the good out of it. And the good is that I had an opportunity to play on the biggest stage there is, which is the Super Bowl. I had a great opportunity for that. So I just take that with me wherever I go.
What is the you're coming off a Super Bowl, you get beat by the Ravens, and you show up for training camp the next year, and you realize it's going to take 6 months to get back there. It's going to take a training camp, a preseason, 16 games, tough division games. Is there is it a little tougher to ramp up the following year after you came so close the previous year?
It's not tough to ramp up. You're just hoping that you'll get back.
Right.
That's the biggest thing. You're just keeping that hope that you'll get back in it. But unfortunately, sometimes some guys don't come back the same. Sometimes they might be struggling with injuries, or maybe they want to be on a different team. Like, things change, and if it changes, then it can really offset a team in so many different ways. And that's been my experience. You think you got the same team because you did it last year, but until you do check inventory, you don't know what you have.
Vernon, when you were going through, you know, your multiple negotiations, whether it was in free agency or, you know, re-upping earlier in your career with the Niners, how much did that impact the following season? Because someone like Brandon Ayuk is going through a sort of an extended negotiation. It's taken a long period of time, and I fully believe he's going to be a 49er this season and beyond, but we've seen someone like Nick Bosa talk about how, you know, the holdout or contract negotiation impacted his next season. Deebo Samuel talked about how it impacted his season. I'm wondering if you ever dealt with that, and if you ever felt like it might have, I don't know, hampered the beginning of your year based on whatever happened during the summer?
No, I mean, the only thing that can hamper the beginning of my season is how long it takes to get the deal done. Because if you're putting everything on the line for an organization, you would only hope and trust that it wants you to remain on the team. And how are they going to show that? They show that by rewarding you with the handsome contract. And that's the way I see it now. And if it doesn't get done, if they drag it out and say, hey, we can't give them this much, or no, this is too much, or this and that, then you feel less than. Sometimes it can make you feel less than, and it can make you feel a certain way about that organization. That's how I was as a young player. But I think as you continue to get older, you become more mature and you gain more wisdom, and you understand that hey, this is a business.
Did you ever feel like you weren't appreciated by a franchise that you played for, and that was sometimes reflected in how they dealt with your contract?
Absolutely. I felt that way before. I think if you play long enough, you'll definitely experience that. I did, and it's unfortunate that feeling can arise, but I mean, that's just the way it is. I mean, you go into it as a player. A lot of times we don't go into our careers thinking of it as a business. We continue to think of it as a hobby. And that was my fault early on, because football never really felt like a business to me. It felt like something I was just good at, something I loved doing, and I can go out and do it effortlessly. But at the end of the day, I mean, it is an organization. It is someone does have ownership in it. And every penny counts to that owner. So he's going to make sure that he spreads that, you know, his capital around to make sure he make the best investment for his team.
Vernon Davis joining us on 95.7 The Game, former 49er tight end, also won a Super Bowl. I guess, let me ask you this. You like Brock Purdy?
Yeah, I love Brock Purdy. I think he's great. I think he has a lot of potential to be a great quarterback over time. Right now, he's shown us that he can go out and win games for sure. But we just don't know how consistent that's going to be, because we haven't had enough data to show that Brock Purdy is here to stay.
Gotcha.
No, kind of off of that, Vernon. You know, when you're trying to figure out, as a mainstay, like you play with the San Francisco 49ers for 10 years. You know, you were a major piece. You were a piece of the fabric of that franchise. And you had to play with multiple quarterbacks. Is there a point in which, as a pass catcher specifically, that you have a level of trust, that you know that your quarterback is the guy? And when does that sort of set in for you? When did that set in with the quarterbacks that you worked with?
When you know your quarterback is the guy, I think it's something you have to feel and you see it and you feel it. It's one of those things. You have to be on the field to be able to know that. Mm-hmm. Yeah, you can just tell by the his decision making, the quarterback's decision making, his ability to go out and be very comfortable when he's out there, how he leads the team, and just his overall play when he's out there, and the way he he's able to absorb the playbook and know exactly what it is that he's doing.
Hey, Vernon, thank you so much for joining us. Really appreciate it. And one more time, where can fans get an inside look at the soccer clinic you did with Real Madrid?
They can check out my Instagram, and they can see everything from the 30 grams of Ensure Max Protein all the way down to all of the clinics. I mean, just everything that I had a chance to partake in. I think it's going to be they're going to be able to see some great activity there. So I'm encouraging them to go check it out.
Appreciate the time, my man. Thank you very much.
Oh, you're welcome.
All right, that's Vernon Davis. All guests on 95.7 The Game appear on the River Islands guest line. Isn't it time for you to discover the islands? River Islands in Lathrop. And not enough data yet on Brock Purdy.
Yeah, he also slid in at the end there, you know, still trying to figure out if Brock Purdy is the guy, which was the question that Willard and Dibbs sort of threw at us during the crossover. You know, is good enough? Do you need him to be better? How do you know? I do think there is a lot on the line this season for Purdy, but I don't necessarily know if it's financial, Steiny. I think it's us developing our opinions about Purdy and believing whether or not he can be the quarterback to do what others that preceded him could not, which is help the Niners get to a Super Bowl and win a Super Bowl. But as far as his future in San Francisco, I feel pretty confident that Brock Purdy's going to be around for a long time.
How do you define, and this is, and I was listening to those guys a little bit yesterday too, and that is, how do you define a franchise quarterback? A franchise quarterback. In other words, is built into being a franchise quarterback that you have to be a star?
You got to Google it.
Or does it matter simply that a player is the starting quarterback for, I don't know, what, 4 to 6 years? Something like that?
I think a franchise quarterback for me is one that sees out his second contract. So, with the same team.
All right, well, let's play a little game.
Let's do it.
Mahomes.
Franchise quarterback.
Lamar Jackson.
Franchise quarterback.
Joe Burrow.
Franchise quarterback.
Josh Allen.
Franchise quarterback.
Justin Herbert.
Franchise quarterback.
Dak Prescott.
Yeah, franchise quarterback.
Matthew Stafford.
Yes. Yes.
Jalen Hurts.
I would say, yeah, he's the Eagles franchise quarterback.
C.J. Stroud.
Franchise quarterback.
Jordan Love.
He's an interesting one because he's only played 1 year, but I think he's going to see out his second deal.
Trevor Lawrence.
Yes.
Tua Tagovailoa.
I hate to admit it, but yeah, I think the Dolphins have made him their guy.
Kirk Cousins.
Kirk Cousins, no. Not a franchise quarterback.
You like that? You like that?
See, I actually, and I'm not just saying this because I love him. I mean, he was a starter in Minnesota for how long?
But that was his second team. And then after the end of his deal, he left.
Oh, okay. So it's less about ability than it is about staying with the same team for 6 years.
Yeah, if you're asking me if he's a franchise guy, then yes, being there for a long time does matter.
Okay. Okay. Jared Goff.
No.
Kyler Murray.
Jury's still out, but yes.
Geno Smith.
No.
Baker Mayfield.
No.
Derek Carr.
He was a franchise quarterback.
Russell Wilson.
Was a franchise quarterback.
Deshaun Watson.
I'm out.
Well, For other reasons, no.
Okay. Then we're down to Anthony Richardson.
He could be.
Nice little player.
I think he's going to be pretty good this year.
Okay, so using your criteria, Purdy's not a franchise quarterback yet.
Not yet.
Okay. I don't disagree with that. But that's where I do think maybe some 49er fans might bristle a little and say, well, what does he need to do?
Needs to get paid.
He needs to get paid.
But I think there's this assumption that he will get paid. And so right. Has he entered franchise quarterback territory yet? I mean, I guess it depends on how you look at Jimmy Garoppolo. I mean, Jimmy Garoppolo played out the remainder of his contract with the Niners.
Well, I would consider Kirk Cousins a franchise quarterback simply because he starts for the team that he plays for. And
well, then there's 30 franchise quarterbacks.
But for more than a couple years, if you know what I mean.
Yeah.
So when we talk about Brock Purdy, I'm kind of with you. I mean, I think he'll be their franchise quarterback. I would bet on him to be their franchise quarterback. But I'd have to agree with you that right now he's not. But part of that also has to do, to my way of thinking, with Kyle Shanahan. Like, Kyle Shanahan, in a way, you know, has he had 3 franchise quarterbacks or no franchise quarterbacks during his tenure with the Niners? You know what I mean? Did he think Trey Lance was going to be his franchise quarterback?
Probably. I think he hoped he'd be, but Brock Purdy's the closest one of the quarterbacks that he's worked with because he had to trade for one. I mean, Garoppolo didn't start in San Francisco. When I generally think of a franchise quarterback, it's someone that starts with a franchise, receives their second contract, and plays through it. That's why I wouldn't put Jared Goff in that category. He's become the Lions quarterback, but the Rams moved off of him after they paid him. He didn't see out the remainder of his deal there.
Yeah. No, I get what you're saying, and I'm not disagreeing. We just have, I don't know, I guess slightly different views of it, because I am looking more at ability. But no, it's a fair question about Brock Purdy.
I think Kirk Cousins is certainly a starting caliber quarterback, and I want to dig into this more on the other side, but
we can do that. All right, 888-957-9570 is the number if you want to jump into the conversation. And it's just, you know, spurred a little from Vernon Davis, essentially talking about Brock Purdy, saying he likes him, but there's not enough data on him right now. Just 21 regular season starts. How do you feel about that? 888-957-9570. What's coming up next in the game is presented by Fremont Bank, celebrating 60 years of full-service banking with no compromises. That segment was brought to you by Lucky California.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Northsides and bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Nor Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit nor.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.